Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I am Pete.
It is 3:53 p.m.
Well, that was my talking watch. And of course, you can't hear my Braille watch. But this week, we're going to talk about a different kind of watch, the Apple Watch.
We'll speak with Matthew Carello, a trainer with Fedora Outlier LLC, about the Apple Watch and how it can be used by people who are blind. We'll learn about its basic functions, hear it in action, and see how it might become a part of your daily routine. And we'll also learn about some of the other services offered by Fedora Outlier. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Matthew Carello.
You can use your watch to find your iPhone. There is a setting in there that you can have your phone beep at you so you know where it is.
Well, that's just one of the ways you can use your watch. And as we said in the beginning, we'll be talking about some more functions of the watch, how it can be used by a person who is blind or visually impaired. And maybe you can decide whether this watch is for you or not. It's not for everybody, of course, but some people really make use of it a lot and enjoy having an Apple Watch.
So if some of your sighted friends have an Apple Watch and you've been wondering whether you could use it too, just listen to this episode and you'll learn how that's possible.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Guide Dog Foundation, training and placing guide dogs for over 70 years, providing independence, enhanced mobility, and companionship to people who are visually impaired or have other special needs at no personal cost. To learn more about their programs or to apply for a guide dog, visit www.guidedog.org. Let's start by meeting Matthew and learning about the company he works for, Fedora Outlier.
My name is Matthew Carello. I live in Chicago, Illinois. I've been blind to a certain level since birth, but I was a high partial up until about 97. I have Reiger syndrome, a form of glaucoma. It's very rare. And what finally did the final damage was a torn retina. And just getting adjusted to that and technology really helps out a lot for blind and visually impaired people.
And you work for a company that helps others with technology. Can you describe the company a little bit and tell us about it?
Sure. It's a Fedora Outlier, LLC, and it is a teaching and consulting firm, primarily now in Apple products like the Mac and iOS. And we are expanding. We just opened up a audio program. We teach you everything audio, how to do podcasts, how to create recordings, and we're just better than excellent teaching and consulting.
I'm curious about where the name came from. I think of fedoras as being hats.
Exactly. The story I heard from Fashawn Jones, the owner of the company, is he really likes fedora hats, and we're kind of like outliers. So we took Fedora and put it with Outlier, and you have Fedora Outlier.
And I take it much of this learning is done remotely via Skype or some other service like a telephone. Is that right?
It's part remote training. We also do have on-site training because we're becoming vendors in a number of states. So there is on-site training as well as over the net training.
Oh, so you have branches in other places besides Chicago?
Not necessarily branches. Like, I am the consultant here for Illinois, and we have somebody who's a consultant for New York. We have somebody who's a consultant for other states, and we're growing all the time.
Got it. Oh, cool.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is the Apple Watch and how it can be used by somebody with little or no vision.
So today we wanted to talk about the Apple Watch, tell people a little bit about how the watch functions, how a blind person can use it, etc. But maybe you can start out first by describing what the watch looks like.
Sure. The Apple Watch is a pretty basic setup. You have two buttons on it, basically, one above the other one. If you've ever seen a watch with a knob that you pull out to change the seconds, that's kind of like what they call the crown, except you don't pull it out, you just turn it. Underneath that, you have the friends button, which of course brings up your friends list and also is what's used to power off and on the watch. I guess it would depend how you put the watch on where the buttons are on it. Mine are on the right side because I wear it on my left wrist. You can also wear it on your right wrist, or you can like turn the strap around and your watch would be the other way. So it just all depends on how you wear the watch.
For anybody who hasn't seen the watch, it's about the size of a normal men's watch, but it's a square with rounded corners. And then they sell it with a variety of bands, I gather.
Yeah, and there's also different sizes. I believe it's a 38 millimeter and a 42 millimeter.
And now I take it these watches mostly connect with the iPhone, and so you need an iPhone to start going with it, but it can work a little bit independently or not?
It does do a couple things independently, but for the most part, you do need to have it paired to the iPhone.
And I assume you can pair it with a Bluetooth headset so you don't have to actually be listening to your wrist.
Yes, definitely. And the good part about that is most headsets or earpieces that are Bluetooth will allow you to connect two devices at the same time. So as long as you have a different voice on both, you can pretty much, you know, so you don't get mixed up, you can have both your Apple Watch and your iPhone going through the same headset.
Wow, I'd love to hear the conversations they have with each other.
It's a great equalizer for blind people. You can do so many things without taking your phone out of your pocket. So, like, say you're walking around and you want to check where you are, you just check your wrist as opposed to having to take out the phone.
That can make things a little bit easier. So it does have a voice coming out of it, and I take it it has a microphone, so you can interact with it like your phone.
Yes, it does have a full version of a voiceover on there, and Siri does have speech.
Now, I also understand that if you don't have a Bluetooth headset and you don't want to be annoyed by some voices and sound, there is also some tactile feedback in terms of vibrations that the watch can give you. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, the Taptic Engine is a really phenomenal thing because there's even an app out there that'll give you the time. It's called Buzz Time, I believe it is. And it has patterns and it basically just vibrates. And like for 8 o'clock, it might do something like buzz 5 times and then do a different type of buzz for the last 3, or just, it just depends on what the pattern is.
So that's pretty nice. You can tell about some notifications without interrupting the rest of the crowd you're with.
Exactly. You know, you just get the polite little nudge on your wrist, and then you just check it. It's pretty cool.
So how does this all work? One presumably will pick up one of these watches someplace, and you have an iPhone. What do you need to go through to get these things paired up and applications on it?
It's fairly simple. You know, you open up the box, charge up the watch for a little bit, turn it on, and you'll get your normal language screen like you do on an iPhone. So you choose the language. At that point, it will ask you to open up the watch app on the phone and pair it. It will give you a code once you find the watch in the list of watches that are on your iPhone. Choose that one. Enter in the code, and it will ask you a couple of things, like, do you want to install all your apps on here, and other basic questions. And once you get through that, it installs your apps to it.
Can you do this setup procedure with speech, or do you need sighted assistance?
You just triple-click the crown once you turn on the watch, and speech will come up right away.
Oh, so by default, it's set up that way?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, well, that's great.
Now, what features of the phone and or applications are accessible through the watch's interface? You must be missing something here. It doesn't act exactly like your phone, I take it.
Not exactly, but it accesses handoff too, which is nice. You can switch a phone call over to it. You can send a message to it. You can use Siri to send a message, or you can dictate it. And what's really nice is if you're going to send a message, you say your message and then it'll ask you, do you want to send this as voice or do you want to send this as text?
Oh, interesting. That's a nice option.
What's really cool too is you can use other third-party applications. So you can control your Apple TV with it. You can control iTunes with it and just many other, like Pandora also, just many things.
And then do you navigate on the screen of the watch like you do on your phone with some of the gestures, or how is that all done to go through the options of applications?
A lot of the gestures are the same. Like you can right click, you can left click, you can do a two finger flick up to get two glances from the clock screen. You can also do a two finger flick down to get to notifications. You can do the two-finger scrub to go back. So it's got your basic gestures.
So what are we missing here? Do we ever have to take out our phones again?
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes you'll get a message saying, I can't do this on here. Please continue this on your iPhone. So, yeah, you still do need the phone just about 40% of the time, maybe 30.
And I guess not all apps are compatible with the iWatch. I think when you download these apps from the App Store, they'll tell you what devices the apps are configured for.
Yeah, the best way to tell that is to look at what screenshots they have up there. Just listen to what they're called, because if it has a watch app, you're going to see the watch screenshots on there. And what's nice, too, is if you go into the watch app on the iPhone, and you go over to applications, or you can tell it which ones that you want installed on the phone and which ones you don't want installed on the phone.
I assume that it's passcode protected. Can you use the fingerprint recognition on the watch?
You do not use fingerprint, but it is a good idea to have the passcode on, because it won't let you use Apple Pay if you do not have the passcode on. And that's another thing that's good about the watch is, as opposed to taking out your phone and putting it near the register, you just put your watch near it because it does have a full version of Apple Pay on it.
Oh, that's handy. And it's got the capability for you to enter all of the digits of your numerical passcode, and even though it's a small screen.
Yes, it is easy. You just right and left click through the numbers.
So for people who aren't familiar with Apple Pay, that's the system by which you can enter your credit card into your phone and then use your phone essentially to pay at merchants that are configured to take Apple Pay, and you'll never have to reach for your wallet again.
You talked about entering the passcode on the watch. How often do you actually need to do that?
The only time you have to enter the passcode really is when you turn on the watch for the first time, like the iPhone. You can pretty much use your phone to unlock the watch. There's a setting in it where once you unlock your phone, your watch is unlocked also. But it has to be on your wrist.
So the watch has to be on your wrist in order for it to be working?
In order for it to be unlocked, it has to be on your wrist. It's part of the whole security thing, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's great.
That is a great thing. So if it falls off your wrist for some reason, or you happen to put it down, the watch automatically locks itself, so you don't have to worry about security.
Exactly. It's pretty much automatically. You hear a little chirp, and it's locked.
Mm-hmm. And then you can put in some settings so that when you put it back on your wrist, it automatically turns on again?
Not that it turns on. When you put it back on your wrist, it is still locked. You would normally have to put in the code for it, unless you have the settings set up so that once you unlock your iPhone, the watch will also be unlocked.
So that's all customizable.
Exactly.
Can you show us how you lock and unlock the watch by using your phone?
Sure. Okay, the watch is locked, so I'll just take out my phone and use the touch sensor. And that will.
7 to 8 p.m.
Unlock that.
Access chat.
And you're in the watch now, I guess.
Yes, I'm in the watch.
For a blind person interacting with an iPhone using Siri and a Bluetooth headset, you can do pretty much everything with speech in and speech out. What's the benefit under that circumstance of inserting a watch into the system?
Again, like I said, it's just ease. You don't have to worry about having your phone out for safety reasons, or you don't have to worry about dropping the phone in case you're in a situation where it's hard to hold on to it. It's just right there at your wrist.
And I've heard that comment and seen reviews by sighted people that experience it the same way. They say that, you know, you don't have to dig in your pocket or your purse, and these notifications are right there. Of course, if you're sighted, with just a glance, you can look down at your watch and not be very intrusive in a meeting that you're staring at some large screen phone. But, you know, I guess the visually impaired have that option with either the Bluetooth headset, like you said, or some of these haptic feedback mechanisms that the watch has.
Definitely.
What functions or apps do you find most useful?
For checking messages and notifications, for the most part. And if I want to give somebody a quick call and I don't want to take out my phone, or if I left my phone in another room that's within 30 feet, I can, you know, just make a quick call.
So you've got a normal range limitation based on the Bluetooth connection.
Exactly. It's, like I said, it's between 30 and 40 feet, somewhere about there.
And if you had the opportunity to add some features to the watch, what would you say might be missing, or would you like to add if you could?
I'd like to see apps run from the watch as opposed from the phone, because that would definitely speed up time in opening it. Because as of now, when you double tap on something on the home screen, it will take about 4 to 5 seconds for it to open, and you'll still be on the home screen. So if you think you're in the app and you move your finger, you're just basically going around the home screen until it opens.
As you may know, we pre-record these interviews, and in the time between recording this interview and airing this episode, Apple announced that they had included just that feature in the Apple Watch. So now the applications open almost instantaneously.
So maybe you can give us a demonstration of some function that one might perform on their watch when, you know, they're getting going with a new watch.
Okay, well, I'll show you something really cool. Two-finger swipe up.
Mac ID.
We'll
Wi-Fi.
Open up
Kirello.
Your glances, and basically you can do a two-finger swipe to the right or left to go through your glances.
379 steps.
This is the steps
swipe
app.
Up or down to select.
There's a few steps app out there. I have one that I really enjoy. Basically tells you how many steps you took in a day.
Swipe up steps. Goal 10,000.
And the swipe goal up that's or down automatically to select set there is a little bit tough to hit.
I was going to say, you have a way to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to want that today, but yeah. So you go to the right here, flicking.
Page 13 of 13.
And you see
adjustable.
I have 13 pages of glances in here. I may start taking some of these out because you actually don't have to have these in here to use the glances. And it does use a little bit of power.
What's a glance for people who might not know?
It's kind of like peeking at an app on the iPhone, like Mail, without actually opening it. So you're kind of just taking a glance at it without actually being in the app itself.
So it's a quick way of getting some information.
Exactly, yes.
That's pretty cool. What other apps or glances do you have on your watch?
Let me see if I can show you an app that I use here.
Clock. World clock.
There is one thing I wish that they would do with this, is make it easier to get to the beginning and the end of the apps that you have on here.
Alarm. Lifeline. Bank of America.
Okay, see, you can't do banking stuff on here, but what's really nice about
Bank
this...
Bank of America. Loading.
It doesn't give any major sensitive data, so I can actually show you this without worrying about anything. But basically, when it opens...
Page 1 of 5. Adjustable. Bank of America account. Both accord checking 3,926.
That's my checking
page
account.
Page 1 of 5.
I go
adjustable.
Up to the next page.
Page 2 of 5. Bank of America account. Regular savings $6,591. $174.98.
And see, that just shows your account if you one finger double tap on that.
Bank of America.
You can actually check and see.
$174.98. Load pay.
Your recent transactions.
Home.
And what's nice,
Bank
too,
of America.
Is... like, say you're back at the main screen and you want to go back to the last app that you used.
Loading. Home.
You can and just
Bank of America. Bank of America.
Hit the crown twice and it'll
Bank
bring you to
America.
The last app that you used.
Oh, so it's got a simple app switcher in there that's actually more convenient than the one on the phone.
Exactly. It's a very basic app switcher that basically just goes back to the last app that you used.
Well, that's nice.
What other apps or glances do you have on your watch?
Anything that has a glance can go on there.
So you say anything that has a glance. How do you put items into your glance or take them out? Is this part of each of the specific apps?
Yes. When you go through the apps on your iPhone in the watch app itself, you'll have two options for the apps, show on watch and show in glances. So if you tell it not to show on the watch, it will uninstall the app. And if you say show in glances, you'll see in the list of glances. But like I said before, you don't necessarily have to have it in glances to use the glance.
And now you showed us a demonstration of your banking application on the watch. I presume that it looks more or less the same as the interface on your phone.
No, it's a very stripped down version than the one that's on the phone. On the phone, I can go into it with the touch sensor, you know, with the fingerprint sensor, and I can actually pay bills on the phone. I can transfer money on the phone. I can send money on the phone. Anything that you can do on the website, you can do on the phone.
Got it. So as you indicated before, there are some compromises on the watch, but it does make some things a little bit easier. But if you need a little bit more detail or you need to be a little bit more specific, then you want to go to the phone app itself.
Exactly. I mean, with the watch, you have a little bit more of a security issue because it's a lot easier to lose a watch. And as you know, with hackers, nothing is foolproof. Nothing is 100% safe. So you don't want somebody to be able to get in there and get that information.
That is true.
Right. Overall, what's your impression of the Apple Watch?
The Apple Watch is something that I find to be really helpful.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoy your watch and have made a lot of use out of it.
Oh, definitely. It's the item that you don't need until you get it and realize that, hey, you know, this really helps.
Well, that gives everybody an overview of some of the capabilities of the watch, and you can make your own decision as to whether that kind of capability is right for you or not.
Now for this week's final item, how to contact Fedora Outlier LLC in general and Matt directly, as well as where to find other useful resources if you need instruction on using the Apple Watch.
So if people wanted to find out more about Fedora Outlier and get some information, where would they do that?
You can go to www.fedoraoutlier.com. We are also on Twitter, Fedora_Outlier. Like I said, there's all the contact information is on the website.
Are you on Facebook as well?
Yes, Fedora Outlier is on Facebook, Fedora Outlier.
And if people want to contact you by email or phone?
You can reach me at Matt, M-A-T-T, at FedoraOutlier.com. Or you can call myself, which is 708-495-4488. I am also on Twitter, MFC, Michael Frank Charlie 71. And also on Facebook, Matthew Carillo.
And if people want to learn more about the Apple Watch itself, where would you point them for additional resources?
There is a website that's really helpful, is applevis.com. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, but they also give a lot of really, really, really good information. Also, just do a Google search, because a lot of this stuff, even told by a sighted person, can be very easily translated to the voiceover version of it.
Yeah, one of the beauties of Apple Viz is that it's all information generated by and for people with visual problems. And so they'll be giving more information about the watch geared to somebody who's using it without vision.
Exactly.
Does Fedora Outlier have any audio tutorials that might help people learn to use their watch and get started?
Well, if you follow the Twitter account or the Facebook account, we put out a whole bunch of like little quick tips. We try to send out several a day, and Michael Babcock is in charge of that. He's really great with marketing. And, you know, we try to get out, like I said, little tidbits of information to help you get started.
And what other kind of training resources is Fedora especially good at?
Fedora started a few years ago by putting out a book on, it's called The Old Hat Guide to iOS. And that's the first product that they had put out. And it basically walked you through the iOS. And, you know, like I said, we're really good with teaching from afar on the web. And we are also good at, you know, face-to-face training.
And as usual, if you're looking for any of that contact information, phone numbers, websites, etc., go to the show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And I also want to remind people to make use of the search feature on our website. If you're looking for other shows where we talked about some of the iOS products and Apple devices, just do a search for iOS or Apple, and you'll get a whole list of shows and summaries and links to the audio and show notes for those episodes. So check it out.
That's it for show number 1627. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about audio equipment for the blind. People who are blind often have to make use of their other senses, particularly audio, to see the world around them. We'll speak with Neil Ewers, founder and head of Ravenswood Productions, about the importance of audio to the blind and about tools and techniques that can make audio recordings come alive for the listener. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.